This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello, lady.
What an awkward hello.
Well, she had to hit record and then jump back over to the chair.
And run over.
A woman who can do it all.
Well, it's 2017, so.
Honestly, get you a woman who can do both, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A woman who can do it all.
That's true.
I can do it all.
Me too.
Anyway, hi, this is Lo. You're listening to Lady Love in our first episode of 2017, so hi.
Yeah, welcome to the new year.
Yeah, here with Greta Peruse.
Hello.
Jilly Peruse.
Hello, hello.
And we have a fabulous guest on. We have Sadie Kurzban on. She is the founder of 305 Fitness, which is an amazing studio and just like exercise idea concept, dancing in general. I've gone to a lot of 305 classes, so we're so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, hi. I'm so happy to have you on the show because I recently discovered 305 only like a few months ago, and that class is so much fun and also so hard and so crazy, and I took your class.
Wow. Let me just say, I'm sitting here smiling like an idiot because I'm so excited to be on a podcast. This is my first.
Really?
Well, we're happy to take your virginity.
Love it.
I'm That's so excited fun. That it's ours.
So can you explain 305 to our listeners, what it is, how it's different than all of the other kind of workouts and things like that, and what your inspiration was for starting it?
Sure. So 305, we're located in New York, D.C., and Boston. We have two studios here in New York, and basically it's like a crazy night out. Think about a rave or music festival, nightclub setting, just like the craziest party you've ever been to meets a cardio workout. So it's dance cardio. There's a live DJ in every class. There's this crazy light show that's programmed with the moves. So you're basically sweating bullets for 55 minutes straight, but set to awesome music that makes you smile ear to ear with this fun, wild DJ in the corner.
And for the dance moves, do you have to like know things before you go to the class, or is it easy to sort of catch along if you haven't been in?
It's easy. It's really kind of like monkey see, monkey do. There's no background for it.
So it's not intense, like, you know, dancing per se. It's more of like just moves that you can dance.
Totally.
Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah. You'll see like a lot more guys in this class than you might in other dance cardio.
Oh, really?
It's pretty, yeah. Like even your dad can probably do it. It's pretty accessible.
It's basic awesome. Steps. It's just whether or not you can physically
keep
handle
up.
It.
Yeah. Is it a lot of jumping? I've actually never been, unfortunately, but everyone talks about it all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty high impact, a lot of jumping jacks. It's actually a lot of sports drills disguised to music. So you'll see stuff that you would almost do like in like a football drill or a basketball drill, but it's set to this really fun music, so it's not so intimidating.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And how did you come up with the concept? What were you doing before? What made you do this?
Yes. So I was teaching at school. I went to Brown and I marched up to the gym on the first day of my freshman year. And I said, you guys don't have any athletics here. Like, this is so sad. Like, we're all just a bunch of nerds and we don't move our bodies. So I marched up to the gym and I said, let me teach a dance class here. So they let me teach a class and I grew it to this insane following over the 4 years where it was like I became known as that girl on campus who was teaching her crazy workouts.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You were teaching the dance class before you even opened the studio.
Yep, just for fun.
And in college.
At Brown.
So in
college.
You're like 18 years old.
Yep, 18.
And you didn't have, what was your background though? Were you in high school? Were you an athlete? Were you a dancer? What?
So the real story is that I grew up in Miami. That's the 305 area code.
Okay.
And Miami, if you know it, is like this awesome art-infused, cultural, just like an amazing place and super fun. But if you grow up as a young girl, you grow up pretty fucked up because like
so body conscious.
It's so body conscious. So like I didn't even realize I was really smart until I was about 16 because like all you are taught to think about is your body, body, body. So I grew up with this mentality from the age of 11, 12, you know, counting my calories. I'd go like rollerblading so I could lose weight. Like at 11 years old, it was ridiculous. So that's how I grew up, was in this environment. So yes, I was an athlete.
Was your mom like this?
Of course, you know, typical. And all my sisters, I have three older sisters. So I grew up a slave to the treadmill, you know, from age 12. Like a lot of us,
Definitely.
But I knew that something more was out there for me, and I knew that my body could be a real way to empower myself. Mm-hmm. So all these messages that I got as a young girl, like most of us did, about, you know, feeling sexy and feeling confident, like I was going through the motions, but I wasn't really feeling it. Mm-hmm. And so when I discovered dance, I was 16, which is part of what makes 305 so accessible, is that you don't have to be a trained dancer. Yeah. I wasn't a trained dancer, so a lot of the dance cardio out there is created by former ballerinas with 20 years of experience. Yeah. I was just like a kid, like the rest of us, jumping up and down.
Well, dancing can be really intimidating if you started at an older age.
Yeah, so this was just fun for me. Like, yeah. It was fun. Like, I took dance classes at my gym or, like, on my dance team in high school, like, totally as a joke for fun, mm-hmm. and found that it was the first time that I was burning calories and not looking at the clock.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing, like an activity you enjoy. You're not working out when you're dancing.
Yeah,
you're
it's
in a totally different mindset.
Well, right. I feel like that's, like, a really cool trend that's, like, been happening over the past few years, is, like, working out that's fun and not, like, making yourself crazy over these, like, insane machines or, like, the treadmill or, like, all these crazy workouts. It's just, like, doing what you want to do and what you enjoy, because if you don't enjoy it, then why are you even doing it, you
right.
know?
Right.
So now we're at Brown, you're teaching this dance class. How many people were you, like, what day of the week would you teach it? How many people would you get? And did you make money?
Yeah. So this is actually a pretty feminist story. I was teaching probably like 4 to 5 classes a week. So I was doing it almost every day.
And you had school.
And I had school, but
and
it was
like an Ivy League. So it was
hard. But it was like not, it was just for fun. It was not really a big deal. Yeah. and it would be packed. It would be packed, like 200 kids in the room, like as much
oh
as the
my
room.
God.
Yeah. Cause you know, it's like a school gym. So they have like these huge, huge rooms.
But did you have like flyers on the wall? Like, how did people even hear about it? Just word of mouth?
You know, it's college. So you have like literally 50 friends.
Yeah.
Like you don't have 2 friends. You have 50 friends because they all are in your dorm.
Yeah. Have like a microphone and music?
No, it was me shouting. Uh-huh. And so then because the room was so big, I hated walking over to the music station to change the song. So I started becoming my own DJ. Like, I would create the playlist, this continuous playlist, and I learned how to change BPM. I like was not a good DJ at all. But that's where I got this idea, was to hire a DJ. Was after a while I became tired of creating the playlist, yeah. So I hired one. And my little feminist story was that, you know, for 3 years I worked at the gym, and my manager was a man, and I would come to him every semester and I would say, okay, I'm performing better than any of your instructors and I'd really like a raise. You know, they pay pennies because it's college. So I think they were paying me like $20 an hour or something. So I was like,
$20 an hour,
right,
girl,
to teach like 200 people though. Like,
so that is not pennies.
Yeah, but for physical activity.
Like to teach like 200
that's like not the going
bucks.
Rate.
I guess I just feel like
a soul cycle class is $35 a person. You know
I guess
what I mean?
I just feel like in college, like, college,
yeah, it wasn't bad.
Like $5 to
true,
watch.
But if you're working, if you have like one class a day and it's $20 and it's an hour, you're like,
and you know what? The thing is, you can do the math. So if you count actually 200 people and you know they're paying $5 and you're being paid $20, you're like, this doesn't add up.
Yeah, right.
So I would go up to him and I would say, I just want, and I didn't care. I didn't care if it was a $1 raise. I just wanted a raise because I wanted it to feel valued. And he wouldn't give it to me year after year. So my senior year, I just got fed up with it and I said, you know, F you basically. And I went up to the rabbi at Hillel and I said, you want me to bring you people? I will bring you people. So I got him to rent out the synagogue and we like cleared the chairs and late night, like no joke, 9 p.m. on weekdays, I would charge $6 a class. I was just like counting like tens
Wait,
of thousands
that is
of dollars
so
by my senior year.
Funny.
It was really
oh my
fun.
God. Had 305 in a synagogue.
Yes.
I love that.
That's amazing.
That's the scrappy story.
So for the first 3 years, you were getting shit money at the gym. And then the last year, you were getting $6 a class, 200 people, 9 p.m. in the synagogue.
Yep. All in like $1 bills.
Good acoustics?
All over my bed.
Good acoustics?
Not the best. Not the best. Made more for like chanting than
That's a great startup story.
And so then you graduate college and you're like, okay, obviously this is people like this, so I should open up a gym?
Yeah. So right before... I didn't want to do it as a business. I was, you know, my parents are like super communist and like they never taught us to think about money
Where
ever.
Where are they from?
My mom's from Cuba, the heart of it, and my dad's from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Love this.
Yes. So you
just,
can imagine
like, picturing
this, family.
This in my mind right now, like you in Miami with your, oh my God, it's great, like dancing
yeah,
like in the
totally.
Mirror. Okay.
So I didn't know what I was going to do. I was thinking about going to law school. I was thinking about doing Teach for America, and I kept letting the deadline pass and pass and pass. And my best friend and I went down to Miami you know, for a weekend, and we were partying on South Beach, and we were driving home, and she turned to me and she was like, "You have to do this business. Like, this is what you were made to do." And I was like, "You're crazy, because that's not, I'm like not going to start a business." So she talked me into it. We were drunk, and she was like, "Let's just, like, what we just did, like, that's how we can make it different. That's how it won't be Zumba, like the fun lights and the DJ and all this stuff." And I was like, "I don't know, girl." We went home that night and we Googled, "How do you start a business?" Like, that was the first step that I did.
Just like Donald Trump did when he became president.
Yeah. Seriously.
How to be president.
So, well, I was, I don't know how old, 21 when that happened. So came back my senior year, and that's when I started taking business classes. So I changed my major from public policy to econ, and took all these entrepreneurship classes. And then I won a business plan competition my senior year, which was, it's actually one of my biggest accomplishments, because Brown is super entrepreneurial, and there were really impressive teams that had been working for years on winning the entrepreneurship competition. But I got all the people who took my class to come cheer me on. So there was like 1,000 people in the auditorium for the first time ever. Yeah. Like, no one cares about this competition, right? So the judges gave it to me. So that was $25,000, which...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's so, like, enough.
Basically, what you're saying is... You're a prodigy.
I also feel like you worked really... I mean, I think you're downplaying this. You started this idea and started out small freshman year of college, and then by senior year, you had like a huge following, and it's definitely a great idea, and there was a hole in the market that you filled. Do you know what
Thank
I mean?
Thank you.
And like, you did... You know, even though you weren't in the business school per se until the last year, like, you worked the other 3 years doing it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, 4 or 5 days a week you dedicate yourself to your gym and your class.
Thank you.
That's really remarkable.
Yeah. So now I can say I'm 27 now. So I've been teaching these classes for like 9 years, which feels like a long time.
I mean,
time.
It's also crazy that you're 27. You not only have one location, but you have 4 locations.
Yeah. Across 3 cities.
And that's insane. I'm from DC.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like it's probably very popular there.
Yeah, it's crazy there.
I'm also imagining in my mind right now, you guys, like, I'm imagining Jessica Alba playing you in a movie. And like, you're like,
stop.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're saying, me and my friend are like drunk in the car, and she's like, "You gotta do this." And you're like, okay.
You're literally imagining Honey.
Literally. I'm imagining like Jessica Alba playing you, and then like, you guys like... And then you opening it, winning this award. Like, I don't know. I just have the whole movie in my head.
That's amazing.
But I really want to know what happens next. Well, after you get the $25,000.
I'm glad you're giving me that, like, Latina cred for that. Okay, so after the $25,000, I moved to New York. And just like you said, it's all been very scrappy, very patient. So to date, even though we've been very successful, I've never raised institutional money. It's all just been super patient and waiting to see that the product does really well before we take the next step. So I moved to New York, and I was renting spaces. I only had $25,000, so yeah. Like, that gets you 6 months in New York, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had to make it work, because there was no money after that. So I was just renting from, like... And Lo can tell you, because she was there all the time, like, weird tango spaces and like basement, like...
Oh, before, like, you even had your place on 8th Street.
Yeah, we couldn't open with $25,000. So I was like, we were teaching out of like weird bodybuilding, like, just, right? Like, freak show.
Funny places.
Yeah,
but
funny
places. It was always great.
Funny places.
I feel like so many classes in New York are in funny places, though. So it's
you gotta make it work.
It's not an oddity here to go to like a random address and there's like all these... You know, dance classes,
it's like,
and
a
martial
ribbon
arts
dancing
things,
class,
like, weird
before,
things going on all around you. It's like not a weird thing, but I understand,
because it's about the product.
Yeah,
and I think actually New Yorkers, as discerning as we are, we're more willing to kind of jump into that thing. Like, I think other cities are more discerning.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing. I was teaching classes. I trained other instructors. We got it to like 40 classes a week. And a really successful, profitable business. And that's when we had enough money to open the first location, which is in the Village here.
And how many classes do you offer a day at that location?
We do about 70 a week.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I feel like that would crazy. Always be difficult when I think about, workout classes, like knowing what times to have them at. Because obviously you have to have them in the morning, you have to have them at night. But like, which ones do you do during the day?
Honestly, we just randomly pick.
Yeah.
We're like 9:30, 2:30. Does an 11 sound good? Like, amazing. That's what we do.
I'm always looking for more workouts during the day, because I feel like so many gyms close during the day, or they don't offer classes like during the day.
Yeah. So I have a question. I haven't been to 305 in a little bit. Have you guys diversified the content of the classes? Like, or are all the classes the same thing?
Yeah, I found that the most successful fitness businesses are the ones that really stick to one product that works super well. So we have some differentiators, like we have arms days and legs days.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it's just a 5-minute toning section in the middle of class that's different, and people flip over the distinction. They're like, I don't want to take a legs day. So that's why we don't distinguish too much, because we're like, it's 5 minutes, get over it.
That's true.
They make too much of a big deal.
Yeah. I'm like, it's like just butt, and I'm like, there's other things I need besides my butt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
that's true. So we're trying not to stray too much, but we have started a basics class, which is a little bit less dance and a little bit more repetitive movement to make it even easier to follow for new people.
Oh, cool. So you could take that and then you could go to one of the dance classes.
Can kind
of
graduate.
Feel more confident.
That's fun. I need to come back to the studio because I stopped going because I ran cross country in high school and I've always had a problematic right knee.
Oh no.
And so all of the jumping over time like just started to become too painful in class.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if it's like been long enough where I could like come back and like do it again.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
It's not
I've
easy
never
on
been,
the body.
And everyone talks about it all the time. I feel like I'm like an outsider. I'm not in the club.
Right.
I guess get in the 305 club, guys.
That's really why I asked about, like, do you guys have different classes that, like,
could complement it?
Could complement
it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, strength training is really important.
Have, like, you know, sports related injuries or already, because, like, my knee's, like, never really going to get better. You know what I mean?
Stinks.
Like, so I want to come. But
that stinks.
It just hurts.
Well, when you're ready, if you want to try it, you should definitely go with Lo because she's amazing. She killed it in class. You wouldn't believe how hard she goes. I'm serious.
I'm sure. She loves working out, this one.
I do love to exercise.
Well, I'm really happy that we're talking about this because it's the new year and I feel like everyone always puts maybe unrealistic workout goals on themselves. But I do think that it's like a definitely a good time to like restart and like, you know, think about what you're actually doing when you work out and making sure that you enjoy it. Because I would personally like everyone out there to not be a slave to their workouts anymore and to really just do stuff that they love when they're exercising, because like that makes you happier and that makes you like not overeat, you know what I mean, if you're happy. So like
how to make exercise fun again.
So I'm very excited that you're telling your story today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, super important. Like I agree. People, we all are very hard on ourselves, especially women. And so then we dive too deep or we end up doing things because we think it's good for us. So we'll sign up for that class because we heard that it can whittle our waist or whatever bullshit that they feed us.
Definitely.
305's message is all, it's an antithesis to the message that's so pervasive in the fitness industry. And that's part of why I started it, was because I found that the messaging for women when we work out, working out is supposed to be a time of empowerment for us. It's supposed to be a time where we feel in control of our bodies and when we feel like we're getting stronger. And yet you go to so many studios or fitness classes and you are told, you know, to think about your bikini body, you're fitting into your skinny jeans. And it's just like the same bullshit that everyone else is selling us. So I wanted to make 305 a place of forgetting, where you're in a space and you're just thinking about moving. You're just thinking about getting through the next steps, about having a good time, and not about what's happening outside the classroom or the pressures, more pressures on you to look or feel a certain way.
I love that thing you said earlier too, about how like when the class, like you don't look at the clock, because I feel like that's like a really hard thing when you're exercising, to constantly look at, be like, okay, I've done 5 minutes of this, or I've done 10, or I have 20 minutes to go, or you know what I mean? And so it's like really nice to be getting exercise and enjoying yourself and then also not realizing like how much time you've spent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, because we use exercise to purge. It's become like the last acceptable form of having an eating disorder or disorder with your body, is like that kind of mentality of like 55 more minutes, 50 more minutes, 800 more calories. I got to burn off that cookie that I ate yesterday, instead of exercise is the most natural thing that we do, right? It's way more natural than any of the other things that we engage in every day. We're supposed to move our bodies as human beings.
Yeah.
So this is a chance to allow for that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Before we were civilized, I mean, we were hunters and gatherers.
Totally.
We were literally moving all day long, every day. So
totally.
This sedentary lifestyle, I think it fucks up people's brains. Truly do.
It does.
Like, you hear about exercise. I mean, for a long time, people have been talking about exercise and how it relieves stress and it creates endorphins and all of that stuff. But it's it's scientifically true. It's legitimate. I went to the gym the other day, like, feeling on the verge of a panic attack. Like, I had really bad anxiety for, like, 12 hours. And my boyfriend said, let's go to the gym. And I did 40 minutes just walking on the treadmill, like, at a really fast clip. And I went in the steam room. And then after that, like, I felt totally better.
Yeah. No, it really changes your life. Remarkable.
It's crazy. Like life-changing. Yeah. And can I just say that 305 is so fucking fun.
Thank you.
No, it's so fun. I don't even know, like, what you were saying, it's when you so don't even look fun. At the clock. Like, I don't even realize how much time. Oh, sorry. I'm repeating this. I'm, like, in another world. But you really don't realize how much time has passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have a good retention rate? Or, I mean, like, how should I put this? I guess, like, the first couple times I went to 305, I felt, like, self-conscious. Like, I totally, like, couldn't let myself go or, like, get into it. But then you look around, like, the instructors are, like, they're, like, going so hard. And, like, people that go a lot are, like, super into it. So do you feel like over time people get way more comfortable?
Totally. And we know that from the numbers. So the chances of you coming back after your first class within 45 days are something like 50%. So, like, you know, we got to work on that. But then after you've hit your second class, the chances of you coming back after 45 days are 92%.
Wow. Wow.
So it's just about convincing people, like, seriously, come just back. Try it a second time. You're going to like it so much more.
But I find that with so many exercises, because the first time you do it, you're like observing, you know what I mean? You're not like fully doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of are, but you're sort of like, okay, like, I don't know if it's going to get so much harder, and I'm like working out too much in the beginning because you just don't know. So I feel like you definitely like to try exercise twice is always so important.
For sure. That's a great point.
So when you go into the new year, do you think that it's a good idea for people to like start a new exercise regime, or should they stick to what they're already doing? You know, because I feel like it's like new year, new you, and like, I don't know, like, I like the exercise that I do, and I don't necessarily feel like I have to like do something drastically different.
Yeah. If you like the one you do, just stick with it. That is my philosophy about working out is, you know, if I get interviewed about tips for toning or losing weight, I always say the workout that is going to burn the most calories is the workout that you can stick with. Mm. So just find the thing that you like, because we know over time that's the one that you're going to do over and over again.
Yeah.
I love all the instructors at 305. Where do you like find them? Because it's not like you're having like a strict like trainer person. They're all like dancers or like Nets dancers, Knicks girls, like all this stuff.
They're fun.
Where do they come from? Yeah, they're so fun.
They're fun. They're really fun. And also they don't look alike, which I really like. Yeah. I think we're so diverse in that way, both racially and in terms of body types too. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel so much of the fitness industry is like one body type and it all looks like the founders. And I'm like, hey, whatever you like, do your thing.
Yeah.
Where do we find them? They're dancers, they're performers. Some of them are fitness people. We host open auditions. Oh, so cool. Every few months, and we get like 500 people here in New York, and we'll choose like four.
That's crazy. So what do you do in the open audition? Do you make them do
you
the
should
class?
Come. You would get a lot of good material from it. We have them in groups of about 20 come in at a time. And then they'll teach about 30 seconds of a class to each other. So it's really simple
but
moves.
But how do they know? Okay, so you like...
Yeah, we show
them. You
can
tell right away.
You can tell right away. Like if the four of us were to do it right now, I could tell you like who's the best instructor.
I think that I would be a really good fitness instructor.
I would probably
actually
say I wouldn't even do it. I would be like, okay, bye. Like I would not.
I think I'd be really good because I would just like scream at everyone.
Yeah.
In a very inspirational way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd yell at them, but then you'd be like, I'm only yelling at you because I want the best for you.
This one... the only thing that I want more of is when you're like toward the end of a 305 class and you get to twerk in like the black lights. Yeah. That's what I want more of.
You can twerk in black lights?
Yeah.
I don't even know
so
how to twerk.
This we save
crazy,
that for the
I
end.
I wish that arms was double as long.
I know.
Arms
I mean,
and legs. I loved that part. I wish they were twice as
toning
long.
Toning section. Yeah.
Maybe like it more. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way.
I'll think about
can
it.
Can you offer
we can try.
A special lady
twerking
loving
class.
Twerk class?
Yes,
and then we can have our
and we'll make a
come.
Video of it, and then we'll put it online so
oh
everyone
my
can
that
watch.
Would be fun.
And let's maybe like a portion a of proceeds class? Could go to like Planned Parenthood or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Oh my god! Wait, we have to talk offline about a Lady Love 305 class.
Yeah, that'd be great. So sick. I
so
really want to do it,
and I'll make the playlist.
Well,
when am
I
DJ?
What am I?
Oh, it's awesome.
One of my best friends and like our most loyal listener, Carly, Catalana is like the most loyal 305er.
Yeah, she's there every day.
Shout out to Carly. I saw her at Sweet Green yesterday.
Good for
smiling
her.
Face.
She's the best.
Just eating salads and dancing.
She rocks.
Like she's like a buff gal. Do I know
she,
Carly?
I feel like you maybe
she's
have
a ray
met
of light.
Her.
She's like a ray of light.
Maybe at what, my birthday one year or something. She's honestly the best. She like puts a smile on my face. She's so, I don't want to say pure, but she has such a good heart. And she's one of these people that she's very genuine and she means what she says and she says what she means. And I love her.
She's a big fan of yours.
We're big fans of each other. She's the best. She cracks me up and she just loves 305 and her cat. That's and she works very hard. She's a boss.
Cool.
Great. Yeah. Love it.
What is everybody doing in the new year?
Like for workouts?
No, like, are you doing anything new? Do you have any like resolutions you're sticking to? I know we talked about resolutions in a recent episode, but like, how's everybody feeling about 2017?
I am still, you know, working on my depression issues. and I think I'm just trying to be like more patient with myself because I can be like, Greta, like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? You should be doing this. Why aren't you getting that? Why aren't you, know? And it's like, that's a really fucked up game that we all play in our heads. So I'm just trying to not do that.
Yeah.
Really focus on that.
That's good. That's positive.
My typical is always just love yourself.
Love yourself.
Working on that always.
Do you have big plans for 305 in this coming year?
I do. I think this is the first year that I'm going to go raise some money so we can blow it out a little bit bigger. So that's on the horizon for us. And I'll keep you posted on how it goes.
What about your personal life? Are you a single woman? Are you an attached woman?
I am single. I am recently single. Aww. I got out of a long-term relationship that was not helping me grow. Oh. So I feel much better about it. It was actually, by the way, if any listeners right now are thinking about breaking up with someone, you just do it. Yeah, like it always feels better once you do it.
Love a breakup.
yeah. Thinking about it was way more painful than actually doing it. And then I was fine. But I'm single and, you know, dating.
And so you knew that you were like, this person's holding me back or I don't feel like I can grow. So you
decided to on your level.
It was kind of like all my friends and everyone around me could see it, but no one wanted to tell me. Not that it's their job to tell me, but it was more of just this feeling of like what's happening, like looking over my shoulder constantly until I was like, oh, it's the relationship.
Mm. Where did you meet this person?
I just met him here in New York out at a bar 2 years ago.
Ooh, the old fashioned way.
Yeah.
That's cool. He probably just wasn't on your level and like couldn't keep up.
Could have been that. Yeah. Now I'm figuring out what I want. It's nice.
That's cool.
That's always good.
Important. At 27, that's like the perfect age to do it at, you know?
And you already have, I mean, you've accomplished so much.
Thanks.
How?
Being single's nice.
Yeah.
In New York City.
Yeah, when you, for like 2 years.
It's great.
You get to, but at 29, you better have a boyfriend.
The second you turn 29,
I'm kidding.
She
was like 2 years
single.
And then you're done.
No, I just mean, I was single from like 26 to 28 or like 20, somewhere around that. But by like the end of the 2 years, I was like ready to be in a relationship again.
No, I know.
Do you have guys that come to your class and ask you out on dates?
That never happens. That is my dream. Although,
is it your dream though to date a guy that does?
No. It would be like too much. I think. Yeah. Not regularly. Like maybe one time for fun, but not regularly. I like couldn't deal
You'd
with
be
that.
Like my boyfriend's in the third row.
I once picked up a guy and brought him home, and I was wearing my 305 fitness leotard.
Ooh.
And he was like, I've been to that class. And I was like, no fucking way. That's awesome.
That's really so funny.
He's like, yeah, a bunch of girls from work dragged me.
I feel like you would give good advice for women wanting to pick up dudes. You seem like a very confident, forward person.
Thank you.
How do you pick up guys?
I think if I'm out, remembering that if you see a bunch of guys standing around, they are there to pick up women for the most part. So just remembering why they're there too. Like, I think guys generally tend to be more homebodies than women anyway. So I don't know a lot of guys who are like, I just want to dance tonight. You know,
right.
Like, I just want to go out and have a good time with my guy friends. Like they're there for an explicit reason. And, In my experience, there isn't a man on earth, whether he's taken, gay, or whatever, who will not be extremely flattered if you just go up to him and you're like, hey, so I'm a cute girl, you're a cute guy, you want to talk? That's usually what I do. Like, I just kind of lay it out.
You say that? I'm a cute girl, you're a cute guy, do you want to talk?
Yeah, or like, if I'm there with my friends, I'm like, we're cute girls, you're cute guys. Like, do you guys want to, like, all talk instead of just looking at each other talking?
It's always awkward when you, like...
That sounds bold, and I
I love that.
Yeah, that's sexy. And then you know what? Sure. They all get boners.
It works, though.
Right? Later on in the movie.
Actually, it only works about 40% of the time,
but
I'd say.
I just mean you break the ice, which is
it
like
always works in breaking the ice.
Barrier to entry. Yes. Is just breaking the ice.
Yes.
I would also like to say that guys are so stupid.
They are. Sometimes really when it's most obvious, they don't get it.
But they're so bad at like it's like what you're saying. When they're out, they're so bad at like talking to girls. Jilly and I one time went out to a bar and we...
Refresh my memory, Greta. Which bar
like
is this?
2 years ago. We went to Mother's Room.
Oh, and we're talking to the Australian really man.
Yeah, but like Jilly and I, it was a night like you're saying that guys don't do. Jilly and I were like, we want to go out and we want to get drunk
and like flirt
and,
with men.
Flirt with guys. Oh, Bernie does not like that.
Bernie's like, you guys can't do that. Oh yeah, we did go out and we met these like two cute Australian men, and then like, but they were very weird, and they just ended up like sending us direct messages on Instagram.
But my point is the reason like they wanted to talk.
Right.
To us.
Right.
Yeah. But we had to start talking to them.
Right.
And they were trying to angle their bodies toward us to talk. And then it just came to the point where Jilly and I were just like,
hi.
What's up?
Actually, Greta was like, what's up? And I was like, oh, hey, I'm here too. Because I'm shy.
Which is so stupid because if they're from Australia, they have nothing to lose.
Well, then they
just go talk to someone.
Honestly, they don't want to talk because they don't want you to hear their accent. So
I've never dated an Australian.
I have.
I think it's probably because I'm not a huge beach person, so we just don't have much in common.
He was really nice, but he was obsessed with me, so I had to say goodbye.
Why are you so obsessed with me? Seriously. Boy, I want to know.
You guys, this is just like a powerful female dating conversation.
Yeah, actually, the Australian that I've had sex with, I just got a notification today on Facebook that it's his birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, he was 6'7".
Damn.
And hot and Australian. Australian guys are hot. Australian girls are hot. Shout out to Aussies.
Yeah. Aussies 6'7" is way too tall for me. I don't mess with that.
6'7". Yeah,
he was really tall. I mean, his feet were dangling off my bed, and I was definitely disappointed in his dick size.
Oh, that's
Well, height doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have a large...
Hold on.
That's hard.
What was that I heard come out of Lo's mouth?
What?
That's happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
See, you know, in fact, I've slept with a lot of very large men.
With very small wieners?
And more often than not, they have small wieners. I'm serious. Based on my data.
Based on Lo's clinical study of large men.
I can only think of like two or three of like the really big dudes that had like... decent sized or normal sized wieners. The rest had like tiny little micro weens.
I have a question.
Seriously.
Not micro. Micro is like an inch.
Well,
yeah,
I have encountered more than one micro ween in my life.
I've seen a micro ween. I've had a micro ween. I have. You guys, how big do you think your dicks would be if you were all dudes?
Oh, wow.
I think mine would be medium. But
I
I feel like it'd be like great, and it would do like
a good job,
like an above average job. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't know that right away by looking at it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jillian would have a nice. That's like a lot of Jewish dudes.
That's my analyzation of my fake penis that I don't have.
Well, would you be a grower or a shower?
A grower.
Sure. But I think that's a lot of Jewish men that I've encountered. Like, you wouldn't think it, but low-key, they have really nice wieners.
I wonder, it's probably more comfortable physically to be a grower, because then you don't have to carry around like a huge piece of meat in your pants all the time.
True.
Yeah. Do you think that if you're not a grower, would you...
Like these big boobs that I have.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Yeah, I used to hate my boobs. Now I like them.
How big do you think your wiener would be?
I'm going to boldly say large.
Yeah.
I feel like that's my personality type and probably a shower.
Yeah.
So I'm in the, I'm like in the small pool.
Just hang just all out there.
Just hanging.
Just like
the time.
A dick that's a problem. Like you couldn't
a problem
wear,
in class for sure.
Yeah, like you couldn't wear a skinny jean. Like you're wearing Dockers cuz your dick
it's
is
it gets
like
in John the way.
Yeah, you would yes, that Jilly that is spot
Conda.
On. You would be John Hamm. Just fucking slinging that dick around town and not even caring. Getting into a sports car and a tight little tweed pant.
What I really want to know.
Sweatpants. Yeah.
I really want to know, excuse me, I have a cough, guys, what Greta's would be like.
You guys,
but you don't want to know how big my penis would
no,
be?
No, first I want to know Greta's. I'm thrilled to know yours, and I really want to know Greta's, and then I want to hear Lowe's.
Part of me thinks I would have a small dick. Part of me
just
thinks
you're a talker.
No, part of me thinks I'd have a small dick, but then the girl would be like, it was so weird. It was small, but it hit me like in the right spot, you know?
I've experienced that.
Yeah, so I feel like I could just...
Lowe's experienced it all, guys.
I feel like I'd be a guy with like kind of a small dick, but that had a really good personality and could still fuck whoever. And I think that my small dick would still do a really good job. But then part of me also thinks that
you
I would
be... You can't
have
two penises. You can only
my
have one.
My alternate penis would be that of
your
like...
Your fist a penis.
My other penis would be that of like... I would have like a black athlete's penis.
Oh my Lord.
Because I would be a black athlete.
True. Okay, low.
I was not expecting that last one.
Well,
I
love know, it. I love we just it. Have to mix it up.
I think I wouldn't be too big or too small. I'd be just right.
Oh, come
That's
on.
That's a great answer.
Low.
Well, give us a little something.
Would you be circumcised? Would you be uncircumcised?
Yes, definitely circumcised. What, like 6 inches hard? Is that reasonable to say?
Yeah, that's 6 inches is very nice.
That's
very
like
nice.
A very nice
wiener. Is that the average?
No, I think it's a little smaller than that. I think it's like 5. I don't know.
You guys, I don't like, know the size of wiener? Anyone who I've slept with's penis.
I think the average size wiener is 4 inches.
A too big wiener four can inches? Be painful, and a too small wiener, we all know what that's about. So I just want to be just right, just like the porridge and tail.
You guys,
Goldilocks.
One time I hooked up with this French guy whose wiener, I love calling it a wiener, was literally like, it was like the, it was so... Oh, girthy.
Oh, my God.
It could not fit into my vagina.
Oh, my God.
It was like a loaf of sourdough bread.
Oh, my God.
I'm being dead serious.
Like a loaf or a baguette?
A loaf, girl. I could put a baguette in my pussy. I could put a baguette in there. I could not, like, sitting on a loaf. It was crazy. And it was so big. I couldn't even put my mouth around it. So I just ended up, like, licking his wiener.
Just slapping it around.
You guys, he lives in St. Bart's. And his name is Dauphin, if you want to see that.
How do you spell
that? Big dick. D-A-U-P-H-I-N.
Dauphin?
Yeah, like dolphin.
Do you think men with that
like
large penis
are like the dolphin?
Like dolphin, like the skin care line.
Do you think that men with that large penises, they're like upset that it's that big, or do you think they like it?
You know, a lot of things got lost in translation down there because he really did not speak English, and my like French that I studied in high school and college is like. Bonjour, ça va? You know, like trying to speak broken ass
like,
French.
He's like, yes, this is my
I'm like,
penis.
Je suis en loaf.
But I mean, do you think that like they encounter a lot of issues with women?
I would think so. I mean, that was like, I wish I could have taken a picture. I honestly wish I could have taken a picture. It was crazy.
Why don't
it
you
was like,
Google
it
now.
It's like a turtle shell.
Not like now at this minute, but I just meant if you want to see.
I think probably there are wieners that are too big, and you probably like wish it was smaller so you could get some more action.
Yeah. Maybe it's like really large breasts.
Could you imagine
want
doing
a reduction?
Yeah. Could you? I mean, I got a breast reduction.
And it was so maybe it's like that, like gets in the way.
Yeah. I mean, they were painful. I mean, could you imagine having a huge peenie?
I can't even imagine having one, in a small one.
I can't even, yeah, like just
like, you know
that
what I
thing
mean?
Hanging off kind of the front.
Could you imagine doing a 305 class with a penne pasta hanging in your pants?
No.
The thing is like the way that I walk is very much like I walk with like my boobs and like, you know, not having a penis. So I can't imagine like walk. Like I feel like I would walk.
Well,
like
John Hamm over here would just be walking around with her dick.
I'd get used to it.
You should make. Can we talk really quickly about, before we wrap everything up, can we talk about your athleisure that you guys sell at 305? Because I really like your clothing. The best of all of the places.
Thank you. It took me so long to develop it. I didn't know anything about apparel, but I knew we needed an activewear line. So it took me over a year and a half to work on it from start to finish. I love the line. I think it's so unique to the fitness space. It's black, gray, white. It's bold, edgy. It's urban, big, bold prints. So it's not trying to be like out of the way or discreet. Right. It's it really draws on a lot of like hip hop inspiration from the 90s. I thought a lot about the designs and then actually figuring out, okay, now I have this concept. How do I find designers? How do I make, you know, the patterns? How do I find a factory? Because we didn't just, you know, source from American Apparel and wholesale it and screen print it. We really wanted to do it the right way. So I learned how to choose fabrics and negotiate with factories and do all like I didn't know how much to order. It was this whole project. So I'm really pleased with it because we've sold out in a lot of the items and people have been really responsive to it.
I think that you should make 305 compression shorts for men.
That would be amazing.
They just say 305 over the wiener.
Oh, love it.
Jeez, Greta.
Greta's just thinking, like, my literally yeah, a dick space.
She only has penises on her mind today, everyone.
You guys, a few weeks ago, I Instagrammed a photo of doodles that I made when I was 11 years old, and it was of dicks.
Oh my
that's
God.
That's what it was? I couldn't even tell.
Yes.
I thought it was just stick figures.
Nope. They had wieners.
Consciously, they were dicks.
Yes, I'll show
so
you.
So you're like Jonah
like
Hill,
Jonah Hill
and Superbad.
Like,
they opened the lunchbox and there was just dick drawings.
You're probably just really interested in like anatomy at that point in your life.
Exactly.
Discovering the human form.
Which there's nothing wrong with, guys.
It's true. So you really, I mean, taking... ending the dick conversation to go back to something more serious. You really have done your business like really inside out every corner. I mean, everything from starting it in college in a gym to then doing it in random spaces throughout New York City to then finally getting your first space and then growing out the business. Because growing a business like that is so, 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 so hard.
Yeah.
And like quality control and all the things that you need to deal with and people not stealing money from you and people being good people and blah, 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 blah. And then to actually making your own line of apparel, it's crazy. You've really done every single thing and you're only 27 years old and that's remarkable. So what advice would you give anyone that's interested in starting a business, especially Oof. For you where you don't have an MBA and you kind of figured it all out mm-hmm. and it was sort of a scrappy little thing you did?
Yeah. Well, I will say, even though I usually take a lot of credit for it, I have an amazing team now backing me up. So it's not just, it's, you know, we have an amazing team of instructors and DJs, of course, but then I have a management team that helps me with operations and helps me behind the scenes, and they've been incredibly supportive. I have a lot of advice, but my biggest piece of advice is starting a business is really hard. So don't do it unless you're serious about it, unless you need to. And by need to, I mean, A, you got fired and you have kids and you have to put money on, you know, put food on the table. Excuse me. Or B, there is a passion burning within you that is so intense that if you don't pursue this one thing, you're going to die. So I was in that second camp. And I find that a lot of entrepreneurs that I meet, you know, they're just after an idea or they like the lifestyle of being an entrepreneur. Being an entrepreneur sucks until you're actually successful at it. So it's having something to really rally around, a real true vision that's really important. That's my biggest piece of advice.
That's great advice.
I love that.
I think so too.
I was going to say, who is your lady loving today?
Ooh, I look up to a lot of women, but one of them is Serena Williams. I just think she's amazing.
We haven't had her yet. What a great
that documentary Serena is incredible.
She just owns her body. She's so herself. She's so authentic. She's defied every expectation, and she's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, she really is.
Bow down.
She is the greatest of all time.
I've seen her play tennis in prison so many times. She's so good.
It's amazing. Where can our listeners sign up for 305? Where can they follow you? Where can they find everything? Where should they go?
305fitness.com. We have a blog that we just launched called makesweatsexy.com. And then, of course, Instagram at 305fitness.
So if you're in D.C., Boston, or New York, please go to a class. It's honestly so, 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 so fun. I love it. I like want to do it all the time, and I don't say that about anything. Also, New York listeners, will keep you posted on when we're going to actually make our class happen.
Oh, yeah, our 305 Lady Lovin, and I'm following 305 now. And it's very inspirational and cute. And there's hot pictures of Sadie.
Yeah.
Which you should all look at.
Jessica Alba, just warning everyone.
Oh, you look great.
Jessica Alba, but she looks beautiful.
Everyone love your body. Love yourself.
And happy. She looks happy. And
that's
what's
most important.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.